if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine, shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners calling other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and hour three, and Hammer's going to join us. And it's funny, I just got a terrific email from artist Michael Garrity. And, of course, Michael's work will be available at Saratoga. Got to see him at Pimlico and all summer long. Michael's right there by the bridle path, his terrific paintings. And he was listening to Dave Greinig, and when Dave's reference to, and this is a lead-in for Hammer, Michael talked about the days of the old American Championship Racing Series, and the short-lived 2 years, and it did produce some famous performances and matchups. It had real power, star power, that year, that first year particularly, and then the enthusiasm for it and the coordination for it kind of fell away. But it was specifically, for the handicap division, to keep horses in training and give them goals to shoot for, and had Strike the Gold, Fly So Free, Unbridled, Farm Away, Marquetry, Festin, races like the New Hampshire Sweepstakes, and I think the Mass Cap probably part of it, and so forth, the Oaklawn Handicap. Hammer, good morning, and you're old enough to appreciate the American Racing Championship Series.
Absolutely. Good morning to you, Steve. That's funny. I was thinking about saying something, but you just piqued my curiosity again about that. Doing a little garage cleanup, which we all do a little bit at a time, and I happen to come across a little ARCI flag, a little teeny flag that one of the stuff that was given away. But that was a very whiteboard brainchild, and it took hold. And that first year, you mentioned all those horses. Criminal Type, I remember, was one of them. With Festin, of course, came up, and the Island was in it. I was at Monmouth at the time, and that was back when I think it was 1990, 91, somewhere in there. Was it that early?
And 90, it would have to be, because Unbridled,
early 90s.
Yeah, it would have to be. Yeah, it would have to be 91, 92.
Right, because I remember, back in the day, when it went places, not many people like to travel, and I always put my hand up, so I got to go to see a few races, and one of the races was at Del Mar, I believe, it was the first running of the Pacific Classic, I believe, was involved in one of them, unless I'm getting something crazy mixed up, but and Best Pal won that, and I remember being there for that, but it was a fantastic series. That was well spaced. I think it had some kind of prize money and bonus money for running all the way through. But these horses, Farm Away to the world, you mentioned Festin, they became household names as you followed them from race to race. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why it just went away. I know a few things, but But hopefully, I say this hopefully, that something like this can get back into style and you know, become part of the landscape where we've lost that race to race, you know, same horses running against each other in races that leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And so, you know, I think you're going to see a little bit of a push. There's some backroom stuff going on, to move some schedules and get something like this. You can't get too many of them, but if you can even get three or four of these, races that, you know, the same horses, group of horses participate in throughout the year, starting, you know, in the springtime and going through, you know, late summer to get ready for the Breeders' Cup. I mean, that's what horse players want. That's what fans want. We want to see the same horses competing. So, it was a great concept. And like you said, I think it ran, the first year was huge and the second year, and then all of a sudden, it just went away. So I don't know the whole story behind it, but it was it's hard to believe. But good. I was just thinking about this weekend with you taking a little time off. It's that time to take a little bit of a breather. And I was sitting out here in the kitchen this morning, kind of weird. I don't usually talk about this stuff, but you know, we lost our 19-year-old cat Bella a few weeks ago.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. I didn't hear.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm not big about going over that stuff, but I mean, nine lives. She had at least nine lives, anyway. But I kind of noticed it more in the morning because I get up by myself, and now I really am by myself. I've got no one to talk to. You know, she used to always be here, and we'd talk and let her out and feed her, and then we'd have a little conversation before I went off for the morning. But this morning was kind of quiet in here, and it you know, kind of hit me this morning a little bit. But anyway, little Bella, she had a good run, and we'll carry on. But talking about the break here, we just ran through that marathon Santa Anita meet here, which ended last weekend, you know, in a good swing, and we head into Los Alamitos, who I think goes 3 weeks. I think they do 2 days, 2-3-3, something like that. And then we go into Del Mar, and it's a little bit of a different schedule, so it does kind of give some of the claiming horses a chance to run at Del Mar, at Los Al, and pick up a paycheck or two before heading into Del Mar, which gives a little bit of a break instead of going, you know, from like big meet to big meet. I mean, I kind of like that. Del Mar doesn't start, I think, until the 19th this year. Or 22nd, excuse me. They don't start till the 22nd, which about a week after Saratoga. But you know, I do a little recruiting for them and try and keep things going. I'm very positive for this meet coming up. Done well out there. There's going to be some, you know, besides the local trainers here, Bob should be back training as well. But some of the horsemen are looking forward to coming from out of state, which always spice things up. Like Maker, who came last year and did well, coming back. Norm Cassie's going to bring a string here. Robertino Diodoro is going to head back to California for the meet. Jack Sisterson is going to bring a string here. Patrick Biancone will have some horses. John Enos and a few others. But so that always adds a little spice, that winning your in program they have that has really highlighted dirt races this year has played a significant part. I mean, in some cases, these guys that bring in fresh horses that run on the dirt are running for double the purse. So, you know, looking forward to a nice Del Mar meet as Saratoga comes up. Starts a little earlier than Del Mar. Would you say the 14th? Is it the 14th this year?
14th for Saratoga,
Yeah. So they're a little bit early. So sometimes these guys kick off on the same day. But we'll lead off with Saratoga. And then where it affects me is both these meet for some reason go long this year. Del Mar usually ends either, well, you know, Labor Day is early. It's the 5th, I think it is. But Del Mar traditionally ends on that Wednesday, but they're going another week. And so it cuts into Kentucky Downs. Normally they end in the first couple of days and then Kentucky Downs. So I've had a few jock agents kind of complaining, like, oh man, you know, they want to get to Kentucky Downs as fast as they can because of the first is But we'll see how it goes, because some of the big races run at the end of those meets, as you know, especially the two-year-old races. Heading in for that, one thing I noticed just going over the schedule this weekend, I mean, there's I think I counted 28 tracks running tomorrow, we're still pretty good. And I actually went over and looked at a lot of the cards that have, over the past month or so seem to be a little weak. It's pretty good. I think don't bury me because I'm not dead yet, as Elvis Costello sang. The game's going along pretty good. It's a game that never stops, so it can't be good every 52 weeks a year. Got to go have some ups and downs, but I feel a lot better right now heading into the second half than I thought I would. What do you think?
I have no complaints. I think we'd all love to find a solution. I don't know if you heard Dave Groening earlier, but the situation we talked about briefly 2 weeks ago, you folded in the Lasix concerns as contributing perhaps to the smallish stake fields, the concentration of talent, the scheduling, the overlap of too many opportunities, all these multifactorial issues that are affecting the field size. But other than that, when you get down to it, and we have these isolated weekends, these big weekends, as we come out of the Triple Crown, and you start to look now really to the summer schedule, you can envision a very good second half. And the three-year-olds, people I think are excited already about the reshuffling of the three-year-old deck for the Haskell, the Jim Dandy Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, as we find who's going to end up rising to the top as a three-year-old champ. Fold in, I brought up today, you looked at that Chicago field tomorrow, and you realize with each passing opportunity for fillies and mares sprinting on the dirt, that division seems reinvigorated. The whole sprint division, collectively, of the males, that seems like it's deeper than it's been. We've got some obvious stars. But I feel like you. I mean, you look around the divisions. We don't have to worry about turf sprinters or the milers and turf routers. Fold in some Euro, some of the Euro visitors, and you got yourself a formula for a big lead up to the fall.
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes you just take a step back, because you got to remember, I mean, we never stop. It's one of the good things and bad things about us. We just keep going and going and going. So we have to appreciate the good times when they're here and not whine so much when, we get a few weekends where, it's not going so well. But I feel very positive. So, of course, there's another thing lurking around the corner. I don't know if you want to use the word lurking. Sounds a little ominous. But Haifa, of course, is coming into play. The first of the month, actually now the second of the month, they've made a few changes or corrections in some of the dates and when some of the rules are going to take effect. But basically, you had to sign up by July 1st, and now they're making it July 2nd for some reason. And they're taking a second look at a couple of the rules when it has to do with shoeing and the whip or the crop. They're taking a look at that. They're taking a look at some of the claiming stuff. And when I wanted to bring the claiming rule up, I've been going over the rules myself just because I want to know them, but kind of checking off a few things that I had some questions on. And claiming is one of them. So under their claiming category, the claiming of horses, the only thing they list is regards the transferring of the horse after the claim. And then there's a rule on voided claims, just how that's going to happen. And then there's a rule on the waiver claims, how that's going to happen. But interestingly enough, there's nothing in there about jail. And so the question is there going to be any jail? And so that's been floated around, because there's not a rule there, are the states going to be able to write their own rules, or their tracks write their own rules as far as claiming jail and how, you know, when a horse can run back and when he can run back at another track and how long they're in jail and things like that. So I know Heisa has said that their rules will trump any state rule or any house rule at the racetrack, but since there is no rule specifically written by Heisa, how that's going to flow as far as the claiming game is going to go. So that was one of the things I had. But you know, we're gonna definitely need our waiting boots as we get into this situation with Heisa, and a lot of people are you know, I'm literally terrified, scared to death, and I don't think that's the correct way to go into it. But you do need to go into it with their eyes wide open, and you know, thinking of the bottom line is, you know, we want to try and make it equal for everybody and make it safer and have everybody play by the same rules. So, with that in mind, I think it's going to take a while to get people going, but you know, we're in it, so we might as well try and make the best of it and get along and find a common ground. It's the only way that I can think we can handle it.
Well, and that's you know, that's what the message was this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, with the horsemen, the five horsemen we had on, and then followed up by Eric Hamelbeck on Wednesday. If anybody missed that, I invite you to listen. And you know, each of the four Kentucky horsemen that were on Tuesday, immediately following Monday's 3-hour session with Lisa Lazarus, what was interesting was how each had a different specific concern, which was really germane and well presented. I had Chuck Simon kind of summarize horseman thoughts, and then Eric gave a national HBPA overview, you know, knowing that, you know, it feels like the legal challenges are not, you know, not going to impede the implementation of Heisa, and you know, the horsemen are not bringing these things up out of you know, some obstructionist posture, and neither did the HBPA in making the legal challenge. There's legitimate concerns about the implementation and the fact that these rules were basically put together without input from the people who ply the trade, Rick. I mean, that understand the game and understand the backstretch and understand the condition book and understand, I mean, every aspect, and they've had no input, and then when they have brought these issues, you know, to the fore, they're met with you know, a sneer and with disdain, and you know, basically it echoes a positioning, you know, frankly, that the Jockey Club established over the last 10 years, that sought to trivialize the horseman's position in the running of the game and the conducting of the game. And I guess they've partially achieved their goal of you know, trying to neuter the horsemen. It's shameful, and they're acting surprised that there's this outcry.
You know, I've got to say that Eric Hamelbeck has done a tremendous job representing the horsemen. I mean, he's the national guy, and he's done great. He's asked real good questions, and anyone that wants to go back and find that Kentucky meeting that was earlier this week, it's on, you can Google it and find it. I actually started watching it, where Lisa Lazarus was there, you know, trying to answer some very well-constructed questions about just what you were talking about. You know, having trouble, you know, explaining it on a horseman's level. I was hoping, you know, I was hoping when I saw some of the extensions on, you can go to Blood Horse and find some of, like I said, they're re-looking at the whip and the roll and they're re-looking at this roll. I was kind of hoping that we'd maybe take a step back on some of the other stuff too and say, you know what, maybe we should sit down with some people in the industry that understand this better and, you know, at least, if not rewrite, at least explain the what they're trying to do with some of these rules. You know, the rollout is now. You know, it could have had another, you know, or at least go along and say, okay, here's what we plan on doing for the first 6 months of it, and see how it actually would have played out, and then go into a real effect, you know, maybe the first part of the year. Totally agree. You know, it's coming. I just, you know, it's like they need a middleman almost to explain what they're trying to prove and let the horseman, and so that person can explain to the horseman so there's not this fear of the unknown, and that's what a lot of it is. It's the unknown, and I don't know. Like I said, to continue on for those who wanted to watch, you know, listen to the, like you said, go back and listen to your show, especially on Tuesday morning, and you know, there's some legitimate concerns there. I think somewhere in the middle is where it's going to meet. I don't think it's as bad as it sounds, but concerns are right. And the one thing that you said, I wish there would have been more industry involvement in some of the categories that they made changes in. And, you know, it's coming, but, you know, let's hope that, you know, we can meet middle ground and ease into it as opposed to, you know, into the gotcha stage. The last thing you want to do is get into the gotcha stage, which kind of happened out here with some of the new rules, rather than helping you into the new rule, saying, ha-ha, you missed it, I gotcha, and go penalize the guy. So... I just feel that it's going to be that way, and it's going to eventually end up all right. But let's hope that you know what, either side can admit that, you know, there might be a little problem here, and let's you know, raise our hand and ask some questions and get it fixed right. But that's coming, and they'll both be in effect for the big meets, as we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they say. Lisa Lazarus and she and Charlie Sheeler, they and the staffing that they're trying to assemble. You know, this is basically. This is essentially the ask of these people has been a little crazy. I mean, to assume that they were going to be able to put this infrastructure together, but listen, that's the way in which they brought upon themselves, because the manner in which this thing was executed, as I've repeatedly characterized it, like the night auditor at the Holiday Inn slipping a bill under your door at 3:30 in the morning, that's how this was executed. And they're you know, the parameters included this July kickoff. So, you know, when you operate in an underhanded manner to establish it, you basically paint yourself into this corner. So, congratulations, you got exactly what you wanted, and it's really, I mean, it just. I'm trying to be supportive, Rick, and I as much as anybody, I want to see you know, the industry thrive and you know, all the things that are good about it to, you know, to be elevated, and the things that hold it back be, you know, be minimized and eliminated. But I mean, they don't even have a communications point person to answer these questions. I mean, they're trying to get back to everybody who reaches out to them, but there's not an outward voice, really. And I mean, they try. Poor Lisa Lazarus is you know, brought out there to be bludgeoned, you know, from venue to venue. There was a better way to do this, and it basically has set everybody up for an expectation of problems.
Well, you hit that right. As I said, they don't have that middleman, so to speak. They've kind of pushed her out there, and she's doing her best, but she doesn't have the technical expertise in some of the categories to answer the questions the way in horseman's language. I've totally got, you know, my biggest fear of this whole thing is that the little guy, again, the little track, the little trainer, the little everything, are the ones that are going to be harmed the most, and those are the facets in the industry we need the most. And so that's, you know, that's my biggest fear. But we kind of hopefully they, like I said, hopefully they ease into this and understand that there is going to be some, it's not going to be a totally smooth transition, and they take it easy in the first part and ease people into it and realize that, hey, we didn't think about this, we didn't think about that. Let's ask questions, let's figure it out what we're trying to do so everybody gets it. So it's well intentioned, I know, but just like you said, I loved your little thing under the door with the bill. At least when you get that, you can get in your car and leave in the middle of the night and not pay the bill. But then this one, I think you're going to have to pay the bill no matter what.
Not you can't do that anymore. Now they've already run the credit card. All they're doing is slipping the receipt under.
Yeah, I know.
And who among us, especially those who have had business, business travel, or not just business, but social travel and family travel, and you're laying there in bed and for some reason in the hotel, not every. Everybody sleeps well in hotels, and all of a sudden you hear that swoosh of the paper under the door. It's you're laying there, and it's pretty dark, and you hear. I can hear that in my mind's eye. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But that's what we're going. A good thing is, I know that's why you picked this week to go on vacation. You'll be gone when all this stuff goes on. You'll be in Cancun
exactly.
The chuck shuts down.
Hammer, Steve Anderson can't join us, so we're not going to get a chance to talk Los Al, but I did want to slip in, Los Al kicks off tomorrow, and, it's got that unique configuration, and, of course, at the start of every Los Al meet, we can't help but always tip the cap and salute Doc Allred, who was just invaluable in giving Southern California Racing a venue to get a respite between Santa Anita and Del Mar a couple of times a year. So thanks as always to Doc for what Los Al has provided.
Yeah, quickly, with those that don't know the history, when Hollywood Park unfortunately went away, gosh, is it 10 years ago now? I don't know how long. I usually take what I think it is and double it. But, of course, we here in California, we were not only looking for some race spots, we needed a training spot for the overflow horses that were at Hollywood Park. And Pomona was going away and transfixed into something else, and Doc Allred put his hand up and said, I'll help. And he transformed a nighttime quarter horse track, reconfigured the racetrack, and made it a mile, and offered, almost 1,000 stalls, I think 700-800 stalls, whatever it was, to thoroughbred people, horsemen to stable there, and thank God he did. So that, along with San Luis Rey, or the reopening of that and the modernization of San Luis Rey, helped California continue on and be able to, house the horses they needed to continue on. So, yes, Southern California Racing owes a big thank you to Doc Allred, and you just have to mention that every time they run. So they get a couple meets every year. Two or three week meets, and this is one of them. And like I said, they run a few stakes at this meet, but it, gives some of the local horsemen, some of the horsemen stabled there, some of the claiming races, a chance to, get a check in here, and some of the others to get a leg up and get ready for Del Mar. So it's kind of a fun little place to go. Everyone's smiling over there, having a good time, and we always have fun. I know when we go over there, stop by the deli on the way there. They always get a bite to eat, in and out. But they start there, and I think like I said, they run two days a week this week, and I think three-day weeks, and then they flesh right on into Del Mar, which is going to be very exciting, and Saratoga as well. So looking forward to both of those. We'll hit them both, and we'll catch you when you get back from vacation. Have fun in Cancun if you've never been.
We've been. I've been. Tina, I can't remember. What did Tina? I don't know if Tina's been or not. I think she has. The first time I was there was 3 weeks after a hurricane, and the place was in rough shape. I mean, the beaches were all eroded and a mess. There was no beaches, basically, and things were a little hamstrung. But then I went back a second time, but that's years ago. I mean, I haven't been in 20-something years, easily. 25 years, probably.
Oh, well, very good. At least you know the lay of the land. And like Dave said, tuck the phone under the pillow, forget about it, and and just enjoy the sunshine and just enjoy being away.
Well, the place where I need your help is going to be when we get back and we make that drive up Route 66. That's part two of the trip. That's when I need you to swing into action.
Oh, well, yeah, you got it. That's done. I can lay that route out for you for sure. Because I
right.
do that.
I need your help.
A few times a year. You got it. Anytime. So actually, we'll be on. No, we're going up. We're going up through Salt Lake this time. So we won't be on Route 66. As we head to Wyoming, we're heading up through Salt Lake and Wyoming, and back down through Mesa Verde and north rim of the Grand Canyon here. So we'll be taking off in a couple weeks for that too. So, got to get out. Get your vacation in. Don't let it go by. Everybody goes, oh, I don't have time. Yes, you do. You got to take a vacation. Right, Steve? Even you take a vacation. Everybody else can.
Well, twice a year. And they're always at the same time. Always the last week of June, the first couple days of July, and between Christmas and New Year's. That's the people are know when I'm not going to be around.
Right. Well, you know what? Like everybody said, most of our lives are vacations anyway, right? But I'm pumped. So we have fun. Got to do it.
That's true. We're working in racing. That's right. That's right. Hammer, I appreciate it. Great first half of the year, and we will talk. I'll be in at Horseshoe, Indiana, in 2 weeks, so maybe we'll touch base, and then it'll be Saratoga, Ellis, and Del Mar.
And Del Mar and Kentucky down. So anyway, enjoy it, and I'll talk to you in July. Goodbye,
Rick
everybody.
Everybody.
In the race.
That's it. Away they go. All right. Bottom of the hour. And we got to get Chris Hyde in here real quick. And Rich Eng, since there's no Steve Anderson, Rich Eng and Popo. There we go. So a couple of quick hits for the last 25 minutes or so of the morning. And seeing if there's anything to slip in here. That will save, obviously, for Chris. There is the July sale that'll happen right essentially when we get back. I just got the catalog yesterday for the start of the yearling season. That is on the horizon. Colonial. We're going to be ready for Colonial. Of course, Colonial, the one thing that they've got the little bit of expanded, they're expanding the schedule a little bit. So right when we get back, we'll have to be looking ahead to the kickoff of their season. And, of course, Saratoga on the 14th. So it's it'll be a rapid fire. One thing I can do while we wait for Chris Hyde, let me give you a glance at, there it is, the Monmouth race, the one race we haven't talked about. We talked about the Thistledown action, the Lady Jacqueline and the Ohio Derby. We've talked about the Chicago and the Mother Goose. So that leaves us with this Goldwood. And I suppose, to some degree, and Bruce Brown did not name a rider for Robin Sparkles, which makes me wonder if he's got another option for her. But if Robin Sparkles is contesting the Goldwood at Monmouth, I mean, she's fast. Coming off the Politely win down there, which actually came off the turf. So if Robin Sparkles runs, she's 9-2, and essentially the third choice. Honey Pants, 4-1 for Clement, who's kind of a mid-pack type, mid-pack stalk and go. About Time for Cherie. I mean, Cherie DeVoe has got horses. Every place I look, Cherie's got a horse running. New York, New Jersey, Indiana, obviously Kentucky. She's everywhere. About Time is a Not This Time filly coming off an allowance win at Churchill. And this is a stake debut for her. So she's the second choice. And she's okay at a glance. But there, it's a turf sprint. So some of it is, who You know, who breaks right, who gets position. There's an interesting horse. There's actually a price that I thought was a little interesting. Trombetta's got Spun Glass on the outside, the 10. And I thought that Spun Glass needed to be considered. 10-1. Third off the layoff, coming off of a win. And has a bit of a look. But the one that... The crazy horse, the interesting oddball horse that caught my attention, and this is a big field. Where is it? I tell you, I've got to stop printing. I've tried to be responsible and print on both sides, and it's making me nuts. So I'm going to go back to printing on one side and then just reusing those pages later on for charts. That's my... But I thought, oh, let me print. My new printer does a good job printing on both sides. There's a horse by, there's a congrats mare by the name of Foreign Exchange that's coming in from Keeneland and is 30-1, who is not without chance in here. Foreign Exchange is her name. She's a congrats mare, and... Paul Aris, who only has got 9 starts, and seemingly those 9 starts, 4 of them this year are with this mare. So only obviously has a couple of horses. He's at Keeneland. I don't know anything about him, but this horse is looks a little light on figs, but style-wise, Foreign Exchange, 30-1 is your wacky outsider in that Goldwood. Chris Hyde is joining us, and we've been checking in with Chris as the SAFE Act makes its way through Congress, and another hurdle jumped yesterday. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all, because I'm going to be gone 2 weeks, and there's plenty that is going to happen. We'll be able to check in around July 7th and 8th when I'm in Indiana, but tell everybody what happened yesterday, and then what happens over the next couple of weeks while we're away.
No, you're right. This was the momentum, and I think you mentioned it on the last call. The momentum is really on our side with this. The Energy and Commerce Subcommittee held what's called a markup. They offer amendments, they vote on it, and they pass it to the full committee. And our bill, the SAFE Act, passed with actually no opposition. We had a unanimous vote. It was even done by a voice vote. They didn't even require it to be roll called, and nobody yelled out no. So this is, you know, a huge step for us. It's sending it to the full committee. That's why we need to really keep these calls coming, especially over the next 2 weeks, because usually they kind of do these things regular. You know, we had the informational hearing 2 weeks ago. We had this one yesterday. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we will have a vote before the full House Energy and Commerce Committee, which will, you know, hopefully go exactly the same way it did yesterday, and then off to the House floor. So it's moving very quickly here, and we need to keep that momentum going.
One thing I have sort of been saving the big guns for. I mean, we keep telling everybody that the Senate is going to be, if there is going to be a place that stops the SAFE Act, it'll be opposition in Senate. And so I've been sort of saving the full frontal contact assault and a call for, you know, letter writing and phone calling for that. Should we all just keep the pressure on anyway, and every step along the way?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, and keep that enthusiasm going. That's what we need, because we've been down for so long on this. People get exhausted and worn out and tired and don't want to do it. And, you know, now we've had these things. And you're right, we're still not done. We've still got 2 more votes at least in the House of Representatives that we have to get out to get it over to the Senate. And then I think once we do that, the momentum is huge, because then the Senate, you know, right now the Senate's always like, well, it's over in the House, or, you know, it's not moving, so we don't need to do anything on it. But when we get that kind of wave going and we pick up that momentum, then all hell needs to break loose when it gets to the Senate in raising support and screaming for it. But we need to keep it going now, because it's not a done deal. You know, we don't want them saying, well, we made them happy, we gave them a vote in committee, now we're done. We need to, you know, keep that on until it's out of the House and then in the Senate. So we can't let up.
Give everybody the coordinates again, Chris, for keeping tabs on this. Not all of the audience is tracking this stuff on Twitter, but there are, you know, notably returntofreedom.org. You know, is a central clearinghouse, really, mm-hmm. for a lot of the effort. But explain to people where to go and how to participate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're keeping everybody informed. There's alerts and ways to take action and calls and phone numbers at returntofreedom.org. And it's the same thing, Return to Freedom on Twitter and Return to Freedom on Instagram. And you can follow me. You're better than I am. I think I need to know my own now. I think it's Animal Lobbyist on Twitter. That you can follow me on this kind of stuff. So that, you know, we just need sharing. We need, you know, we get a lot of shares. We need those shares to triple and double and start reaching, you know, even more people about this. But those are the resources. And as soon as any breaking news comes, we will post it there. And Steve, I'll make sure to tag you as well, so you can always keep an eye out for it when you're out of the studio.
I appreciate it. And back in a couple of weeks, we'll pick up wherever things are. And those that want to find a way to permanently end the slaughter of horses, this is the best chance we're going to have. And it's inched and closer and closer. Are there any, you know, Chris, it occurs to me to ask, is there any industry auspice that is not involved yet that needs a push? We know, obviously, the Jockey Club and TOBA, you know, NYRA and some of the other Breeders' Cup, they're involved. Jockeys Guild's on it. Who else could help? Who else from a voice standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, they've all been great. Really, we still need the NTRA. You know, I know they're there. I know the new incoming, and I think that's a lot of it because of the incoming head. Former Congressman Rooney, you know, who had always been a supporter of this, even when he was in Congress. So I think a lot of it is him coming in, but we certainly need, you know, them behind it, and that would kind of unify certainly the racing industry. We've had the Trotting Association, which has been great on this thing and really stepping up to help. So, you know, all of these guys are really, really stepping up and putting their lobbyists on it and alerting their members. So I think with all of it, we just need to ramp it up even more, get owners, you know, again, and trainers and jockeys and everybody speaking out, you know, for this and every chance they have, resharing your information, you know, so their followers see this kind of thing. That's the big thing for us, just to keep reaching that audience that surprisingly still doesn't know about this, but wants to help. So I think that's information sharing is key right now.
Chris Hyde, everybody, and as he referenced, Animal Lobbyists is the Twitter follow, and returntofreedom.org on a website, and all the ones we've been on. I'll keep retweeting and the hashtag #YesNumber2Safe, the Safe Act, and real opportunity to make this happen. Over the next few months. So let's keep the pressure on and the ball in the air.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, and I will keep everybody informed.
Chris Hyde, everybody, and Animal Lobbyists, if you aren't following Chris, H-E-Y-D-E as well, from as opposed to all the other interesting ways to spell Hyde.
I answered them all.
Right? I didn't. Other than the candy, there's H-E-I-D-E, the candy company. The Run and Hyde, H-I-D-E. Until I saw your name, I didn't know that was an option, H-E-I-D-E.
That was my college nickname, Rawhide, so there we go.
Oh, that's great. Oh, we're going to – all right, now you're in trouble because we're going to – we're going to have to add that. That'll be your play-in music from now on when we bring you in after a break. Casey, we should probably use the Blues Brothers version too.
There you go. All right. You get my Twitter handle. Thank you.
I love it. Chris Hyde, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Safe Act, folks. And this is a real opportunity. I mean, there's been years where, you know, they kind of knew there'd be some problems and it would get tripped up. This has got more support than it ever has had before. So this is it. get aboard. Yes to the number two. Yes to safe. That's the hashtag, and you can find all the other assorted resources. But when you go to returntofreedom.org, the call to action, there's so many options. You know, one of the things Chris and I talked about, a few weeks ago, maybe last month, writing a letter to the editor or reaching your local paper about an editorial, an op-ed piece, and they will help you construct that. These are grassroots type, hearts and minds effort. We, to some degree, when it comes to the, let's say, Twitter, for instance, and even, even Facebook, the circle of friends that we all have and the contacts, are people that are, that are all on the same page with this kind of thing. Was also true when we all worked together and successfully got the change in the withholding tax on the gambling winnings. Which has been a tremendous tremendous positive. So this is a thing where we can't just assume that all of us if we push out on a wider basis and get this message to more people, it can make a difference. And particularly with and we'll get at some point probably some targeted senators when the time comes, if that's needed, and obviously Chris will be on top of the headcount in terms of passage of this, and chances are it's going to get grafted on to some other legislation. All right, we got about 10 minutes to fill out the first half of the year, and when we talked to Popo the other day, we were looking at Canterbury, and as much as anything, I wanted to get Popo back, not just to see if he's got some ideas on form to win for the Ohio Derby and the Lady Jacqueline or anything else, but also because when I come back from vacation, Papa will be coming back from a honeymoon, and you'll be a married man when we talk next. So mazel tov in advance.
Thank you very much, Steve. Yeah, I'm really excited about the next chapter in my life, and a lot to look forward to.
Well, one thing I didn't ask you is what are you doing for the honeymoon? What's the post marriage plan?
Going to Grenada for about a week. Basically as far south as you can go in the Caribbean before you hit Venezuela. So we're looking forward to that. We picked that island because it has some tropical rainforest on the inside of it. So you got the great beaches on the outside and then the tropical rainforest on the inside. So we're definitely looking forward to that trip.
Very cool. The Grenada, a little less, a little less kind of off the radar too. It's not a not overrun by tourists, and I don't think it has landings for cruise ships either, right? I think it's
No. You have to fly in. That's the only way to get there. Other than, I guess, you could. Well, it'd be quite a swim from Venezuela. It's a little bit off the coast.
Oh, that's great. Well, enjoy. And where are the nuptials taking place?
Bernheim Forest, just south of Louisville, about 30 minutes outside of Louisville South. Yeah. The heat. We were worried a little bit about the heat, but it looks like it's a morning wedding, so we should be fine.
What a great choice, and that's very cool. Actually, I've been through there. That's very cool. Good boy. Some thought has obviously gone into this wedding, into this marriage. So you're already off on a good. You're starting on a positive note.
That's the plan, Steve.
Yeah, I love it. Papo, let me ask you: Did we have any looks at Ohio Derby, and what can we expect on form to win this weekend?
Yes, Steve, I looked at those two stakes, including the Ohio Derby. So the Ohio Derby I mean, it looks kind of chockful, but Baris absolutely fit the one horse, fit on form to win, good, along with Wida Barrio and Tawny Port. And then backing up one race earlier to the Jacqueline Stakes, Marcuja, Army Wife, and then Crazy Beautiful a little bit. She was pushed down some on form to win, but Army Wife and Marcuja were prominent. And then that, I know if you're playing that cross-country pick five, that turf sprint at Monmouth is very interesting. Honey Pants Fit, who's the 4 horse, but so did Spun Glass, who's the 10 horse at 10-1. And then a horse called Go-Go Shoes, not sure how he fits, but absolutely fits on form to 1-1 horse at 15-1. So that race may be where you're going to find your price. So they have to spend a little more time on that particular race if you're playing the cross country.
Well, and I brought up the two prices I thought were intriguing. Spun Glass, absolutely, from Trombetta, and Foreign Exchange. And I was curious if Foreign Exchange lurched in, because what's amazing about Form to Win, it utilizes the speed. It utilizes running times and an algorithm. And very often a horse that on Thoroughgraph or on Bayer or on any typical speed figure measurement doesn't fit, or looks a little soft. Form to Win, when Form to Win has one of those horses, Papo, and I say to myself, Jesus, how can this horse fit? Invariably, they run well, and it's one of the mysteries, frankly, of the program, how it finds horses that are just not evident, based on the paper.
Yeah, it does a good job, Steve, of grouping 3 or 4 horses together that absolutely fit. And I mean, not all these horses always win, but some of them can run really big in second or third to spice up the verticals.
Exactly. That's a little bit of a help with the two races from Thistledown and Monmouth's Goldwood. And I don't. This is a new stake to me. This Goldwood. I do not recall this as being a regular part of the Monmouth Stakes program. So the Goldwood, and really a good sequence. And of course, the other two races, I'd be curious, Form to Win, look at the Chicago, too.
I looked at that one, too. Sconson and Bell's the one absolutely fit. Sconson, on average, based off the 4 starts on the filter that I used, on average is fastest. Bell's the one as a singular race has the fastest speed. But I went back and looked at that horse that was running on synthetic that I believe some of your previous people brought up on the show. So I put in to evaluate the synthetic races also, and then that horse fit. I can give you the name here real quick.
Penny
that
Baker.
Was the horse that
Penny
yeah,
Baker.
Yeah, was ranked right behind the two I just mentioned, and Wisconsin and Bell's the one. She was third, so I don't think that 8-1 is going to hold up, but if you're playing the if you're playing the cross country, definitely probably going to have to use her somewhere. And then what was the other race, Steve, for the cross country, the one in New York?
Yeah, the Mother Goose.
Yeah, Juju's Map looks very difficult to beat in this spot on Form to Win, but the horse that could provide some value if you're just looking to play the exacta is, let's see, is Chad's horse.
Gerrymander.
Gerrymander, yeah, was ranked right behind Juju's Map and at 5-1. So if you can, I mean, Shahama was pushed down some based on the filter that I used, but it was only using one of her starts between a mile and a 16th and 9 furlongs. But Juju's Map looks very difficult to beat in that spot. I'd be interested in Gerrymander in the second position.
Yeah, because Shahama is definitely going to take money, and Venti Valentine. You know, that's the funny thing about both of the two Philly and Mare, or, well, this is a Philly race, and then the Philly and Mare sprint. And even if people do latch on to Penny Baker, all money in her direction is going to do is provide a value maybe on Baroness or Four Graces. I mean, there's going to be, unless all the contenders end up in a very compact, kind of a constricted price, elastic. They all maybe end up, between 5-2 and 5-1. You might have, we had that, what race was it the other day that you had five horses that were 5-2, 5-2, 3-1, 7-2, and 4-1. This feels like we may get that kind of a scenario.
Ticket construction will be key there, Steve. That's for sure. I don't know if you're going to have to use all of them. You may want to try to go narrow because a lot of people will be going wide unless you have a very strong opinion. Of the four horses that we mentioned in the and the Chicago race at Churchill, I mean, Four Graces to me is going to go off the highest price of the ones we talked about, and she fits. I mean, not too far behind the Wisconsin and Bell's the one.
It's a tricky read. It's the fourth leg of what is a fabulous all stake, 15% takeout, retail only. Naira Betts, cross country pick five. Papo, when I talk to you next, I'll be in Indiana, and you'll be married. So, years of happiness.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. It's a very exciting time and a lot of work, and I'm just looking forward to the rest of my life with this wonderful woman that I met.
I love it. I love it. Papo Morales, everybody. Form to win. And when we get back also second half, we're going to have the completely revamped and bells and whistles version of Form to Win. All right, but you can still download it now and play around. A couple of free races a day, and there's going to be a method to be able to have it free all the time for you when we get into the second half. Well, there we go. And thanks to Papo and Chris Hyde and Hammer and Scully, of course, and Shap, Twin Spires at the races, weekend preview. Dave Grenig, KK, and Rusty Arnold, who joined us to pay tribute to Glenn Brovigan, Ashbrook. Well, talk to you either the 7th or the 8th as we start to make our way from Arizona to Indiana and Chicago. We'll know if it'll be the 7th or the 8th. But at the very latest, I'll talk to you on the 8th from Horseshoe, Indiana. Fun first half of the year. And we got a lot of good racing to come. Good luck this weekend. Happy 4th, everybody. We'll talk to you when we get back. Thanks.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Betts. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Betts. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.